The Gospel according to Luke, the 4th chapter. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested by the devil. Jesus ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, Jesus was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it takes more than bread to really live. For the second test, the devil led Jesus up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, they're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me, and they're yours, the whole works. Jesus refused again, backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God, and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. For the third test, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. The devil said, if you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Yes, said Jesus. And it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and Peace served as the associate pastor at Tankaverde Lutheran Church. While I lived in Tucson, I observed that the Sonora Desert can be a harsh place to live and that the desert was inhospitable to human beings. Temperatures can be extreme. During a winter day, the weather can be warm or even hot. At night, the temperature can drop below freezing. There is very little surface water. The ground is dry and dusty and can be very, very hard. And there are cacti all over the place. And those thorns on the cacti, well, they serve a purpose. There's one cactus known as a jumping cholla. It has a kind of a hook, and as animals or people pass by, it hops on you, jumps on you. And then that way you spread that piece of cactus around, and you know what? It drops somewhere, and then it starts over time putting roots down. Yeah, so, or there are others, a barrel cactus. Its thorns are what? Not only is it hook-shaped, it's almost as large, the hooks are on the thorns are like, almost as large as fish hooks. So, anyway, interesting cacti all over the place. And there are wild animals such as rattlesnakes, javelina, hawks, mountain lions, coyotes. I miss the sound of coyotes at night. Tarantulas and Gila monsters. These wild animals have adapted to live in the harsh environment of the Sonora Desert. Now, while living in a desert, I also noticed that the desert overcomes and wins all the time. No one conquers the desert. You know how much water they have to put on a golf course to grow a little patch of grass to play golf in the Sonora Desert? I saw people in the Sonora Desert living there who try to grow a patch of grass. And they spend all this time growing a patch of grass. Now, out here, you could grow grass pretty naturally, right? But not in the Sonora Desert. In the end, the desert will beat down grass anytime. The desert always wins. So my wife and I, we went with natural desert landscaping when we lived in Tucson. And get this, the Sonora Desert, which I just described to you, is considered a lush desert. And there are worse deserts, in other words. I think where Jesus went was a worse desert. Yep. So while living in the Sonora Desert, I learned that a desert is a wild place filled with wild things. Like Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus was in the wilderness, and this wilderness was not the lush Sonora Desert. It was physically worse. And along with being in a physical place, the wilderness also had other meanings in Jesus' day. The wilderness was home for not only wild beasts, but also wild people. Bandits lived in the wilderness. And bandits ambushed and robbed people who, well, traveled alone through the wilderness. Demons and Satan also resided in the wilderness. The wilderness was a place where a person could be tempted and tested. Spiritual warfare was waged in the wilderness. Remember that the Hebrew people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years after being freed from slavery in Egypt and before entering the promised land. While wandering in the wilderness, the Hebrew people often questioned their relationship with God, failed to be faithful to God, and caused headaches and heartaches for Moses and for God. The wilderness has a way of messing up and wreaking havoc on one's relationship with God. In other words, the wilderness was not a safe place physically and spiritually. No one traveled alone in the wilderness, nor was the wilderness a good place to live alone. Yet in today's reading from Luke's gospel, Jesus was, get this, led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Fortunately, Jesus wasn't alone in the wilderness. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as a result of his baptism. The Holy Spirit accompanied Jesus into the wilderness. So why did Jesus have a wilderness experience? The wilderness was a place and an experience for Jesus to prepare for the hard road ahead in his ministry. In the wilderness, Satan tempted and tested Jesus to forsake his mission and to save humanity and creation and to forsake the cross. In the wilderness, Jesus faced the same struggles, pains, and dilemmas encountered and endured by the Hebrews, who earlier wandered the wilderness for 40 years. In the wilderness, Jesus learned about his own humanity and our humanity and developed a deeper sense and understanding of the human condition. In the wilderness, Jesus overcame these trials and tribulations and prepared a way for us to follow in his footsteps. Unlike the Hebrews who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, Jesus didn't succumb to Satan's temptations and Satan's tests. Jesus remained faithful to God and committed to the mission given him by God. Jesus would follow the way of the cross. Through his wilderness experience, Jesus was prepared to go into the world to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God was near, that God was actively involved in the world, and that we weren't alone in our wilderness experiences, and that the way of the cross was the way to life for us. And all of us have had our fair share of wilderness experiences in our lives. We've all been tempted and tested to turn away from God. We've been tempted and tested to do things that we know we shouldn't do. And we've all had our share of failed tests. We've done things that we didn't want to do. We've done things that we should, or we have not done things that we should do. And we've had our fair share of doubts, pain, struggles, trials, and suffering. We've all probably had our moments when we fail to temptations and tests, and each of us has turned away from God, or maybe forgotten God, and even denied God. We've experienced broken relationships, and the temptation is not to seek reconciliation or the temptations to blame the other person. Many of us have had serious injuries or illnesses or even seen others suffer, and the temptation is to blame God for that suffering. We've yearned for peace and justice, and the temptation for us was not to act on and work for peace and justice in the world. We know from experience that life is not fair. Life is not for the faint-hearted. And the temptation is to give up on life and to give up on God in the midst of the struggles of life. We don't have to physically go to the desert to know that life can be a wilderness experience. We can experience the wilderness here in Grass Valley, Nevada City, Penn Valley, and anywhere in Nevada County and the Motherlode. And to a certain degree, a transition time between settled pastors can be a wilderness experience for a congregation. In the midst of change, when comfort becomes discomfort, when there's uncertainty about what's ahead, folks can be tempted to reconsider their commitment to their congregation on the next settled pastor and say it's the next settled pastor's responsibility to take care of the future of this congregation, not us, and for the congregation not to own and commit itself to to God's mission. The challenge facing every congregation in transition is, one, to discern and listen for the movement of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit keeps moving in every congregation. Are we listening for it? Are we sharing that with one another? Are we being attentive to the movement of God's Spirit? And to wrestle with God's mission for this congregation, because you know what the other reality is? God's going to give us too many possibilities. There are plenty of opportunities wherever a congregation is located. The challenge happens to be is, well, what fits us? What do we identify with? I mean, I already know some of the ministries that you identify with because you're very active in them now, but what are other possibilities that God is presenting for this congregation? And then to honestly ask, are we committed to God's mission for us? Are we? How committed are we? And to be honest about that. If we're not, then let's wrestle with that. Why? And maybe something is at hand that we need to change. Or is there something that God's wanting us to consider that's new out there? Know that God is with you throughout this transition between settled pastors, and God will provide and will show you the way. Do we trust God enough to follow God at that moment? As we live life and struggle with life's wilderness experiences, God constantly tells us that we're not alone. Into the wilderness of our lives, God sent Jesus. Jesus has already experienced the wilderness and provides a way for us through the wilderness. Jesus journeys with us into the wilderness, and Jesus is able to make a way when there seems to be no way as we live in the wilderness. Jesus is good news for us and for all people and incarnates God's love for all of us. In other words, nothing can separate us from the love of God that we have through Jesus Christ. Not even the wilderness can separate us from God and from God's love. And we've all probably experienced this good news during our lives. We've all gone through our share of trials and tribulations, and we've all experienced God's help. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're here. All right. I remember visiting folks in the hospital. That seems to be a standard thing, and I know a number of you visit people in the hospital. And one of the things that I always come across when I visit folks in the hospital, they would say to me, you know, I don't know how I could have gotten through this without God's help, or how I could have gotten through it without the help of my congregation, people from the church coming out and praying for me or visiting, or I know that they're there for me. And often folks would then point out how God has helped them so far in the midst of that moment. Or in the midst of the temptations and tests of life, God wants us to turn to God for help. Let's be honest. I need help. So ask God for help. Or God wants us to know that we don't have to face trials and tribulations of life alone. We can rely on God to be there for us. I think this is one reason why God encourages us to confess our sins, or why God encourages us to repent, to return home, to come back to God, or to remember that God is there with us. Because God wants to be there. And when we fail and fall down, the amazing thing constantly is that God picks us up, brushes the dust off of us, cares for us, points the way that we need to go, forgives us, and then says, go. Let's try again. And that happens every day in our lives. I mean, it's not just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's really every day of our lives. During our wilderness experiences, we are tempted and tested to turn away from God. And these can also be times for us to come together and to get closer to God. I mean, that's why I think women's circles are so important. It's a place where women, in this case, can share with one another. Or back to the men's fellowship. You know, a group of guys coming together, shooting the breeze, but then, you know, while you're shooting the breeze, you're starting to share about certain things that's happening in one's lives. And then, you know, all the guys say, hey, we're for you. We're on your side, supporting one another. Or among clergy, you know, one of the advice that I give to new clergy constantly is form a group. Get a couple other colleagues together and talk about what's going on, because the temptation is to do it alone and to forget that there's a whole congregation of folks out there. There are a number of folks that are out there who are willing to be with you, journey with you, suffer with us. I mean, that's why God forms a church. Not only are we a recovery group for sinners, but also we're a group that's here for one another to support one another during this time. And God provides a visible sign of that relationship that we have with God through the waters of baptism. Remember, Jesus was baptized. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus was baptized before he ventured into the wilderness. In holy baptism, God promises to be with us forever. In holy baptism, God brings us together to be church and to be children of God. In holy baptism, God forgives us and renews us. In holy baptism, we receive the gift of that power of the Holy Spirit and the power who has the power to give us life. Through holy baptism, we receive the good news that God is active among us and loves us. However, being baptized doesn't mean that, again, that we won't have wilderness experiences in our lives. We know better. The wilderness continues to be a part of our lives, and the wilderness is a part of the human condition. So when we find ourselves in the wilderness, take a cue from Martin Luther. Luther, when he was overwhelmed by the struggles around him, and if you read his biography or read any number of biographies about him, he had lots of struggles. I mean, he was the catalyst for a reformation, and there were any number of folks who thought that he was the enemy. And when he was tempted and tested to turn away from God and tempted and tested to turn away from the mission God has given him, you know what he would say to himself? He would say to himself in Latin, Baptizatus sum, in Latin, and which means, I am baptized. Again, goes back to the basics to remind himself that as a baptized child of God, God is with him. He's not alone. God loves him, as God promises to be there. So, and he reminded himself that he can trust in this God. Through holy baptism, we are reminded daily that we're not alone. We have each other, and God is always with us. So a wilderness surrounds us. You don't have to go to the Sonora Desert to experience that. This is a wilderness that tempts and tests us to turn away from God, to forsake God, and to think that each of us can do it alone. Yet, we are not alone. Into the wilderness comes Jesus. Jesus has already wandered and provided a way for us through the wilderness. Jesus is good news for us today, tomorrow, and forever. And the wilderness can't separate us and will never separate us from God and the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.